Welcome to the Way of Success. Before we bring to you today's message from Pastor Banky, let us recall many of the things that we've heard him teach. We have learned that we are important to God's plan for this life and for our nation in particular.
There is nothing that God does without using people. Anything that will happen on the earth will be a result of the influence of certain people. The Bible says that the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, and the earth he has given to the sons of men. That is, it is what you and I do that affect what goes on the earth.
We learned importantly about the issue of predestination and how much control we have over our destinies. Also, we learned about the need for us to sow the right seeds because of the reality of seed time and harvest.
What you will become tomorrow is being decided today. How you are giving service to the people that are around you, how you are being a blessing to your generation, that you are doing today as a young man, as a young woman, is what will decide where you will be in 20 years' time. Listen to me, there is nothing called luck on this earth. When spiritual forces work, we call it luck. When spiritual things are taking charge, we call it chance. Destiny does not mean that what my life will be has been determined and there is nothing I can do about it. Listen, this is what destiny means. God has a plan for my life. I choose to walk in it or I choose to walk out of it. If I walk out of God's plan, I automatically walk in the devil's plan and I will get somewhere. Destiny means that if I put my feet on the path of walking in a manner that is pleasing to God, I will get to the place that God wants me to get to. And if I decide that I will not walk with God like that, I will get to a place that God doesn't desire, but he knows I will get to. When men have taken wrong decisions in life, they will say they are failing because of predestination. When in actual fact, what is happening is that the snare has now sprung on them, but they did not realize when they walked into the road that led to the snare. God always looks for an excuse to bless people. There is seed time and there is harvest. The things that you do during your time of seed are the things that God looks at as the reasons that he will bless that person later.
Remember, God has a plan for each of our lives, and working in the plan of God is the key to success.
If God created you to be something, you can never have satisfaction until you become that thing. Now listen, I am not saying you will not try to achieve something else or even succeed apparently in achieving something else. But I'm saying inside you there will be absolute dissatisfaction with everything that you have achieved, except it is what God created you to be. I mean that if you don't achieve what God wants you to achieve, you can never be happy.
Pastor Banky also brought to our minds the requirement of God for this generation.
God is concerned about what is required for each generation. We're in a nation like this. Nigeria at this time requires young men and women to lay a serious foundation for the future of the nation. God does not require men who are self-seeking at this time. So God is saying that while you are doing what is right, be patient. At a point in time, I will judge that you are due for a blessing. Don't ever be in a hurry. Those who spring up quickly are the ones that die off quickly.
Oftentimes, we go through trials and challenges. We've learned in this series what the Word of God says about these things.
God has allowed adversity and challenges to come your way. What he is saying is that profit from this problem. Look into it and say, where is God my maker? Give me the wisdom that makes me wiser than the beasts of the field. And the Bible said he has hidden sound wisdom for the upright. If God gives you wisdom, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Challenges are never an excuse for failure. They are only the stories told by failures about why they did not succeed. Once you believe the words that I'm saying, those words themselves will guide you, they will guard you, and they will direct you into the place that God wants you to be. That is, this is the power of the Spirit of God. It is not the ability to follow instructions, but the ability to believe what you are told. If you believe what I am telling you, that God has a place for your life, and you tell God, yes, I understand you have a place for my life, that word will guide your steps into the place that God ordained for you to be.
It has been our pleasure to bring the Word of Life to you this year. From the house of Kingdom Word Ministries, we want to thank you for allowing us into your homes, and we pray that the blessings of God that follow those who obey him will be yours in the coming year. Relax and enjoy today's message.
Well, we have been speaking about God's order for promotion. And last week, I began to speak about how to profit from adversity. I explained that adversities are not really problems. Paul said that there is no temptation that has come to you that is not common to men. There is nothing you are going through in life that you are the only one that's going through it. Do you understand what I'm saying there? And, you know, like somebody said once, that Joseph was in prison. He was not the only prisoner. He was wrongly accused. He wasn't the only one that was wrongly accused. Many people have been killed wrongly. That is not the big issue. The issue is that when you are going through adversity, how are you relating with it so that something great can come out of your life? You can go through problems and come out better, or you can choose to do what most people do. Run away from the problems, or if they are forced to stay in the problems, they come out bitter. We said that God has ordained that when we have problems, we should go to him and ask him for wisdom. Like Elihu said to Job, has any man gone to God and said, I have done iniquity and I will not do it anymore, and teach me that which I do not see. If I have sinned, I will sin no more. That is, if I'm going through problems, what I need to do is go to God and say, Lord, what is it that I am doing wrong? Anytime you have problems in a certain area, you should look into that place. And please, let me just emphasize this. Stop blaming other people. There was something I told my wife once. What happened was, one day she came out. What happened to your car? The bumper was dented. He said, I was driving. One woman just entered the road without looking. So I ran into her. It wasn't your fault. No, it wasn't. It was the other woman's fault. And after I had analyzed everything, I believed her. Another day, there was again a serious damage to her car. What happened? I heard the story again. Again, really, after analyzing everything, in fact, this one, I went to the place where it happened, and the people begged me, they prostrated, they begged us, sir, we are very sorry, because they realized that they couldn't afford to repair the car. Then when that happened a few times, I called my wife one day and said, listen, these things that have happened, really, I believe, and as it was testified by the people that were involved the last time, it wasn't your fault. I said, but have you noticed that I drive on the same roads? I don't come back home with dented bonnets, dented boots, dented doors, and the same mad drivers are all over the place. Very good woman. She got my point. I said, there are bad drivers every day. Your problem is not only with your own skill of driving, but how to avoid being injured by other people's lack of skill. What am I saying? There are problems everywhere. There are people who don't like you everywhere, but that does not justify your failure. Life is not fair. You have to adapt to the unfairness of life. Are you getting my point? I like what one of my profs said those days when I was in Lagos. He said, there are people who said that they don't want me to be promoted. People are sitting on me. I can't be promoted. He said, if you grow big enough inside yourself, the man sitting on you will have to fall down. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Listen, that's the way life is. Adversity is never any man's excuse. Actually, adversity is God's method. And I can prove it to you. If you go to Mark chapter 4 and go and read the parable of the sower, Jesus said that there were different kinds of seed. One of those seeds fell upon a soil where it could germinate. But the earth was not deep. He said, after it germinated, the sun arose, shone upon it, and it dried up. But what did Jesus say about it? Jesus did not say it dried up because the sun was harsh. He said it dried up because it did not have depth of earth. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Then when he was going to talk to us about what the sun represented, he said the sun was the persecutions that came as a result of the world. That is the adversity that the person faced trying to pursue his vision. He said, but because he did not have deepness in himself, he did not have a depth of commitment, he did not have the depth of passion, the challenges of life were able to overcome him. Then the next line, he said, there were the seeds that were planted. And those ones faced the challenges and they survived. But notice this. You all did biology. Without the sun, that thing would not have grown. Without the sun, the thing would not have reached maturity. Without the sun, it would not have brought fruit. So Jesus was emphasizing that the issue is not the challenges. The issue is not the persecutions. The issue is not the problems outside. The issue is the amount of spirit, the amount of passion, the amount of determination, the amount of blessedness, the amount of favor that's inside the man who is facing the adversity. That's why Elihu said, everyone should go to God and say, where is God my maker? If I have done iniquity, I will not do it anymore. That my enemies are only as strong as my relationship with God is weak. That if I'm blessed, if I'm pleasing to God, he will cause favor to flow towards me like a river. That if God is pleased with me, he will cause even my enemies to be at peace with me. Let us stop blaming other people. I remember once I was working in a place. I'm a doctor. I was working in a clinic, actually, and there were a number of nurses around. And one of the nurses, I remember the woman very well, just said, she goes to a church where they are taught very sound principles. She said that, I kneel down for my husband, though. And all the other ones shouted, hey, if you kneel down, like, in fact, some men, self. In fact, they began to talk, and I was observing all of them. And I noticed one thing. Each one was reporting her husband without realizing that's what she was doing. She was just exposing herself. But I noticed one thing. That woman that claimed she knelt down for her husband was the only one that drove a 505 amongst all the nurses there. This was in 1991-92. She was the only one that always smiled. She was the one that didn't have any complaint. She was the one that seemed to love everybody. What am I saying? The other people would think she had a better husband. No, she had better principles. She knew how to submit and respect her husband, so she reaped the rewards. And everybody else keeps complaining, I cannot do it because my husband is bad. Listen, everybody has a responsibility in life. Do your own and let God bless your work. That's all. So that's what we explained last time. And today I want to go on again and begin to emphasize again on this issue of God's favor. Because we read from Isaiah chapter 55 that God said, if you come and listen carefully to me, you will eat what is good. He said, you will delight yourself in abundance. He said, if you incline your ear and come to him, he was saying, he said, he will make with you an everlasting covenant according to the faithful mercies shown to David. And we said, what are those faithful mercies? God said, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. We said that people came to David and submitted themselves to David. They did not come to him by force, but God inside their hearts compelled them. The main reason being that David had mercies shown to him. As you are approaching the next year and you are desiring good, one thing I want you to understand is that good will come to you from God. God will use men if his favor is shining upon you. But what I would just want to emphasize today is that you must never place your eyes upon the men that God is going to use to bless you. Are you following the point I'm making? Listen, I have emphasized again and again. If God is pleased with you, he is the one that will engineer blessings towards you. He will use men, I agree. But stop looking at them, because God will become disappointed and withdraw his blessings. You know, one of the problems people have, which we have studied in these teachings again and again, the Bible says that promotion does not come from the east or the west, nor from the south, but that God is judge. He is the one that brings down one and lifts up another. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, when he's doing it, he can call a bird of prey from the east and the man of his purpose from his distant country. That's what the Bible says. But the fact is that it is still God that is going to bless you. What does that mean? I just want to emphasize it again. The people you do not know or you know cannot affect your prosperity in this coming year. It's not possible. I want to adjourn you this time around to focus your eyes on God. That as this new year is approaching, remember I said something about 3 weeks ago. I said that God said the thoughts that inside your heart will manifest as flesh. The word that is entrenched inside your heart will become manifest on the surface of this earth. If you have the wrong attitude, it will bring out something on the surface of the earth. Now, this point I'm coming to. If you have your focus on men, it will bring disappointment as a fleshly manifestation of trusting in men. What I'm saying, is it making sense to you? I just feel so strong that I should talk about that. Because if you read from Isaiah chapter 31, God said, from verse 1, he said, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses and trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong, but they do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said, now the Egyptians, verse 3, that they are looking to are men and they are not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. He said, so the Lord will stretch out his hand, and he who helps will stumble. That is, the man who's trying to help you will stumble. And he who is helped will fall. And all of them will come to an end together. I want to charge you that this year you trusted men and it did not profit you. You look to the people that you knew. Remember, we are talking about God's order for promotion. God said, I cannot promote you if your trust is in men. There was something Jesus said once, which somebody explained to me some time ago, and very, very important. So Jesus said that when you are praying, you have to first forgive. He said, why did Jesus say so? He said that the reason was because you need to forgive because you have been offended. And where were you offended? Because you were disappointed. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That forgiveness means that I am no longer looking at people for help. You know, there are people who believe that the reason why they are not doing well is because their uncle refused to help. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Listen, God has an order for promotion. And that's the point I want to make today. And God's procedure here is that you must not be trusting anybody. You must trust only God himself. That is, if God uses men, say, God, I thank you. You show the men gratitude, but recognize it was God that used them. And if God refused to use men, don't be angry with people. That's how you know you were trusting people. You know, there are people who are planning wedding. This uncle has promised. This friend has promised. And then the day comes, nobody showed up and is angry for the next 5 years. They refuse to help me. I always say, why should they help you? You think they don't have their own problems? Listen, you are not the priority in anybody's life. You have to get that point clear. You are not the priority in anybody's life. The only person in whose life you are the priority is you. You are the only one that thinks of yourself first. Nobody else thinks of you first. You have to get this into your mind. The only one who is able to think of everybody at all times is God. And that's why I'm charging you that if you are going to prosper in the coming year, you have to put your faith in God. You have to put your trust in him. That's why in previous times we have talked about this matter of faith in God. And what am I emphasizing today? It means that if I am expecting anything from the hand of God, I have to live my life like it is God that is going to bless me. Remember, that was what happened when Abraham was coming back and he met Melchizedek. The king of Sodom before met him and said, take all the goods. He said, no, I recognize that it is God that will make me rich and not you. And I don't want you to say at the end of the day that I made Abraham rich. So he honored Melchizedek and gave everything back to the king of Sodom and went on his way. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, if God blesses you, men will show you favor. But you must never look for favor from the hands of men. Because they will disappoint. It is not because they are bad, it's because they are men. The only person that does not ever disappoint is God. Do you get the point? Now, if God is the one that will bless, it means therefore that you have to live a life that shows that you recognize that it is God that will bless you in this season that is coming. Are you getting my point? All right, open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. God said, if because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and you honor it, desisting from your own ways and from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word. He said, then you will take delight in the Lord and I will make you, God was speaking, ride on the heights of the earth and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now there's something I want to bring up from here. God said, there is what is called a Sabbath. Now I'm not telling you that you must go to church on Saturdays. Because these things were recorded as types. And were written for our learning to take instructions. Paul said in Hebrews that there remains a Sabbath from the people of God. So God said, this is how you know a man who is walking in the Sabbath of God. Now, let me explain again. The Sabbath of God is a spiritual entity right now. It's not a day. It's a life attitude. It's with you on Monday. It's with you on Wednesday. It's with you on Saturday. It is with you on Sunday. In this day, you are not taking the Sabbath as a particular day of the week. No. The Sabbath is an attitude that must be with you at all times. And Paul said that there remains a Sabbath for the people of God. That a man enters into God's rest, which is the Sabbath, by faith. Now God was saying, this is how you know a man that is inside my Sabbath. He said, he will honor God by desisting from his own ways and seeking his own pleasure and speaking his own word. A man who is looking to God's hands for blessing, what will be the emphasis in his life? Is that I must not this coming year seek my own ways. That I must not be found seeking my own pleasure. And most importantly, I must not be found speaking my own word. That I must realign my life according to the instructions of God. That you live a life knowing that only God will bless me, so only God I must please. I hope what I'm saying is making sense. Because when you are going to do business the coming year, you must do it with a Sabbath attitude. That is, even if it doesn't appear like I'm making as much money as my neighbor, but is God pleased with what I'm doing? If you do that, God said, I will cause you to ride on the heights of the earth. That you will get to the high places where those who were making money while you were not making will not get there. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? That is, when I am speaking, am I giving honor to cheat? You know, one of the things that annoy me these days is that people have idolized corrupt people. They take cheats and they give them chieftaincy titles. You know, the man defrauds people. Yeah, you don't care because he drives a big car. God said, if you honor such people this coming year, you will not be blessed yourself. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, you must be found doing things only that will be pleasing to God, recognizing that only from God will your blessing come. Now, if you are pleasing to God, let me emphasize this. God is the one that will now move people to come in your direction. Now, sometimes people turn this thing upside down. They look at a man who has the ability to do them good. So they try to be pleasing to that man. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, they will not do anything good elsewhere except this man is present. They want to appear like a good man. You know why? Because they are expecting blessing from his hands. Listen, if that is your method, you will be frustrated this coming year. In fact, you will be frustrated forever until you change your attitude. There was something we said earlier that in previous days, we said that what is inside your heart as your thought patterns, as your faith, as what you believe, is what brings things out into your life. Now, when I'm saying that, I do not mean that if you believe in your heart that you're a millionaire, you'll be a millionaire. No, that's not what I'm saying. That's how people have taken that thing wrongly. When they want to think, they say, think like a millionaire. God said, this is how a man becomes a millionaire. He thinks as a servant. That's why he said, the man is not seeking his own ways. He is not seeking his own pleasure. A man who sits down thinking as a servant, how can I be of service to God and to the people around me? That is the person who becomes a millionaire, not the one who thinks like a millionaire. After all, what do we mean by thinking like a millionaire? Go and eat in an expensive restaurant. Are you getting my point? What do you call thinking like a millionaire? Wear expensive clothes. What do we call thinking like a millionaire? Buy an expensive car. Listen, that is not what will make you a millionaire. What makes a man rich is that he becomes a servant at heart. Now, if he has that attitude, it affects everything that he does. Are you getting my point? So what we're saying is that what brings good to you is thinking the way God said a man who will take good in life should think. That is, having that attitude that is looking only to be pleasing to God. The issue is not whether the man is caught doing wrong or he's not. That's not the issue. The issue is that even though I make money being a fraudster, I'm a what they call 419. God said, your ways are not pleasing to me. Therefore, this coming year, I will judge you harshly. Are you getting my point? This is the last week of the year. And this year has come to an end. One of the things that David said is that teach us to number our days, O God, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. What I'm saying here is this. A year has come to an end. It is a good time to review. How did I live this year? Did I live with an attitude that was seeking to please God alone? Because the Bible said, seek the Lord while he may be found. You know what that is telling you? A time will come in each person's individual life when the Lord can no longer be found. Are you getting my point? Now, the fact that you are hearing me today means that you are still in the season when the Lord can be found. It's the end of the year. What do? You look over the year that this year, have I walked in a manner that honors God? Or I have tried to please men? Many people who are frustrated in life, the reason why they are frustrated is because they were trying to please men, believing that from that man, favor will come to them. There was one man, it was an archbishop, I think, or a bishop in England. And he served the king of England so well. Killed his conscience to please the king of England. And then one day he did something wrong and the king ordered him beheaded. And he made a statement. He said, if I have served God as much as I served this king, I'm sure I wouldn't be dying today. Are you getting my point? And he neglected to please God. He chose to please the king. And the king is but a man. And God showed to that man and left him as an example for generations to come. That if you serve me, I will keep you through the times of many kings. Are you getting my point? Daniel is our good example. He served the king faithfully. But more importantly, he served God. And when it was necessary to disobey the king that he might be pleasing to God, at the risk to his life, he did it. And what happened? He lived through many kings. Several times men tried him, but he came out on top. Because David said, our eyes are fixed upon you, O God. We are looking to your hands as a maid looks to the hands of the mistress and a servant looks to the hand of the master. That if you don't shine blessing upon me this coming year, I know I can never be blessed. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? That is not what men think of me that matter. It is what God thinks of me and how God is assessing my works. That's what will lift me up in the coming seasons. Do you get my point? The year is coming to an end. Look at it. How have I pleased God? Listen, I know in a few days, many of us will rush down to church, planning to pray into the new year. Let me tell you something. That is not going to affect your favor the coming year. It will not. Prayer is good. But what is more important is to say to God, if I have done wickedly this year, I will not do it the coming year. Listen, if you don't do that, and you spend the whole night in prayer, praying for blessing the coming year, asking for the God of miracles to answer you now. If you don't say, God, I have left the evil things that I did this year behind with this year, and I'm stepping into the realm of righteousness this coming year. If you don't say that, even though they call it the year of stupendous breakthrough, what you will experience is unprecedented breakdown. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Because I believe so strongly in a country like Nigeria that the season has come for judgment for evil works. Listen, we cannot continue forever enduring wickedness in our societies. I believe that the prayers of the saints have risen up to God, and shortly, judgment is about to begin. Listen, those who have been doing wickedly in businesses, God has been showing us signs that I will judge them. Banks who did wrongly, God said, I have begun to judge them. Companies who were manufacturing fake drugs, God said, you saw me judge them. He said, let me tell you, I am about to step into the spare parts market. I am about to step into all kinds of markets. All those who did wickedly, this coming year, I am going to bring them to judgment. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? That anyone who will escape my judgment must be the one who has forsaken his way. And I am giving them another warning that the time for judgment is about to come. It is time to repent and be saved. Do you follow my point? Listen, the men you want to look good in their eyes, when God rubs dung on your face, you will not be able to hide it. It is better to look bad in the eyes of people today and be forever beautified by God than to look good for a season and God forever rubs shame upon your face. Do you get my point? What have I said so far? And what has been our emphasis in all these teachings? God is God and there is none else. If you are not pleasing to God, you won't make it in life. If you are pleasing to God, no matter what the troubles of the societies that people speak about in your ears are, no matter what kind of problems people promise you will see, if you are pleasing to God, he will cause you to rise above all of them. Like we read just now from Isaiah chapter 58. God said, if you stop from seeking your own pleasure and from speaking your own word, he said, then I will cause you to ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. What is God saying? I am the one that will enthrone every man. I am the one that will judge the ones that are not pleasing to me. And the time has come for judgment to be released upon a nation like this. Because without that judgment, I cannot bring out prosperity. So there is a warning being sounded that all men can deliver themselves from judgment by a simple act of repentance and calling upon the name of the Lord so that they might be saved. Let me end with this. Jesus indeed is Lord. The blood of Jesus is indeed potent enough to cleanse every man from his sin. And because of the resurrection of Jesus, anyone who has faith in him will be lifted up. Because the Bible says, since we have died with him, therefore we will also be raised up with him.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to www.kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.